This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these failure drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off. We have a big tech testimony. Does it matter? Is it going to matter? Do you feel like you live in a world of make-believe right now? You do. And I'm going to tell you why you do. That and some other stuff. All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. Do you feel like you live in a world of make-believe? It feels like that sometimes, right? I have felt that more in this past year than I've ever felt in my life. Full disclosure. Where you look and you feel like you think differently than everybody else, that you see things differently than everybody else, and everybody's telling you that one thing is reality, and your eyes and your ears, they're telling you something else is reality. It started really, you know where I really started waking up to this? Was the coronavirus stuff. Right off the bat, it happened to me. We had a virus from China. We didn't know much about it. I understand those were scary times. I'm not discounting that. I don't know much about it. How many people were going to die? Remember that we heard they were chucking people into furnaces and stuff over there in Wuhan? They're just dying. They're just dying by the dozen. We don't know how many have died. But then the first time I heard this, my jaw dropped. The first time I heard this, they came out and said, what we need to do is pause the economy. Everybody go home for a couple weeks and pause the economy. And I felt like I was all alone in the world looking around like, wait, what? You don't pause an economy? Does nobody understand how business works? How things have to move? How things are on a schedule? How supply chains work? What? Pause an economy? And all the smart people in society, well, smart people in society were saying it. And every single the media outlet was saying it. Not here, but every single media outlet was saying it. All the Hollywood celebrities were saying it. Every athlete was saying it. Every educator was saying it. Every politician, virtually every politician was saying it on both sides of the aisle. And I was sitting there thinking, wait, I'm not wrong, right? I'm seeing what happens. I'm not wrong. And then we moved right from that to all the Antifa Black Lives Matter scumbag protests after George Floyd was killed. You know, George Floyd was killed, and it was an awful video. We played it for you on the show, at least part of it. Obviously, it looked terrible. I don't know that anybody has really defended the actual video, knee on the back of some guy's neck for that long. Whatever the actual cause of death was, no one's defended the actual video, and it looked bad and whatnot. And nationally, people just decided the cops were the enemy. I've never seen any. It was weird. And again, it was not just Democrats. It was obviously every single Democrat. We had Republican senators, Tim Scott and others, pushing federal police reform bills. We had one of my own senators here in Texas, John Cornyn. He's immediately, we need a national Juneteenth holiday. But wait, what? In every Hollywood celebrity, everybody in the world, the cops are the enemy, the cops are the enemy. Half the celebrities are signing defund the police petitions. These professional athletes are out there taking a knee, dumping on the cops. Drew Brees puts up a little video just saying, I love the flag. Both my grandpas fought in World War II. I'm really proud of them. That's why I like the flag. I mean, the most innocuous video in the world. And then he had to apologize like 10 times. I was wrong. America actually sucks. This place sucks. I was wrong. And again, I'm sitting back thinking, wait, what? The cops are the problem? And I figured out what it is because I'm seeing it again now. And this has to do with all this Twitter testimony before the Senate, Facebook testimony before the Senate. I know what it is now. This is what happens when you've lost the culture war. Remember, we have lost it. We can gain it back. We have a long way to go, but just don't be under the impression it's neck and neck. Anybody could come out ahead. No. We lost big time. When you own a culture, you completely guide what is real and what is false. You have it all in your hands. What's real is whatever the left decides is real now because they own the culture. If I were to come out, or I should say if the left were to come out today and decide, as they have with several things, that the sky is green, you would say that's insane. For a while. And then every single cable news program will be running news stories about how the sky is green. Did you hear the sky is green? Let's do an interview with Dr. So-and-so. He said the sky is actually green. And the scientists are saying the sky is green. And all this time you're looking up at the sky thinking, it's blue though. I mean, that's not true. And soon every movie will have a little subplot in it about how the sky is really green. Did you hear the sky is green? And the musicians are talking about the skies being green. And the athletes are out there on the field. Oh, we had a great game today. I'm just happy the sky is green. And then every corporation, you're sitting down, you try to turn on the TV. Come buy our tires. We have great tires. Oh, look at the green sky. And you're weirded out now. And your kids are coming home talking about how the sky is green because they're watching those commercials too. And now their teachers are telling them the sky is green. And soon you feel like you're the one who's weird. You feel like maybe something's wrong with you as all of society decides complete lies are truths. That sounds ridiculous. That's where you live now. You live in a completely censored society, not necessarily by the government, but does the government have to censor you? If the means of communication, if the means of distribution are all controlled by one party, why does the government have to censor you at all? We don't need new censorship laws. If you're the left, you certainly don't need them. The corporations are going to censor for you. The media companies are going to censor for you. Hollywood's going to censor for you. Music's going to censor for you. The educators are going to censor for you. And what's the dominant form of communication now? Social media. Twitter and Facebook. You don't have to love them. You don't have to use them. In fact, if you're not on them, you probably shouldn't be. But you can't discount 2.6 billion users between them. Influential doesn't even describe how big social media is. It is a juggernaut. The president of the United States of America is on there and uses it often. Some people hate that. Every senator's on there. Every representative virtually that I know of is on there. Major corporations are on there. The decision makers, the wealthy, powerful people across the planet are on there. The Ayatollah of Iran is on there. So if that's the means of communication, and it's all owned by that side, and they get to decide the reality you see, well, that's why you feel the way you feel. That's why you feel like the whole world's telling you the sky is green at all times, and it doesn't look green, though. It looks blue. So, what's the solution? I don't know that you're going to like it, but I'll tell you what the solution isn't, and I'm going to play you a little bit of it here, and Ted Cruz, to his credit, did really well. But what happened was senators like Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, they actually stepped up to the plate and demanded that in the wake of this New York Post story still being banned, that the CEOs of Twitter and Facebook need to come give testimony, virtual testimony, of course, need to give testimony in front of the Senate for what's the censorship process here? And we had the former prime minister of Malaysia this morning going on Twitter and saying something like, all the Muslims are totally justified to kill as many French people as they want. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. It's still on Twitter. He's not banned. He's not censored. So these CEOs go before the Senate and they have, you know, they have to give testimony. We'll get to that in a second, but they don't care. Oh, they don't enjoy it. Nobody enjoys going before the Senate. But these big tech companies are so wealthy, so powerful now. They've given so much in campaign money to Democrats and Republicans. They're not worried about you. They're not worried about your testimony. They don't enjoy getting called in front of the carpet, you know, and having Ted Cruz interrogate you. Ted Cruz can just absolutely fillet you. But in the end, what's going to happen to him? Ted Cruz doesn't have the votes. He doesn't control the Senate. How many votes do we have to actually do something about it? So what I'm trying to tell you, that was a long way of telling you, we can enjoy this, and we can enjoy them being uncomfortable, and we can enjoy listening to them squirm as they get caught in their lies, but I'm here to tell you this. It's not going to change. It's not going to change. In fact, it's probably going to get worse. They're not ramping down. They're ramping up coming up to this election. And if they were to lose this election, forget about it if they win. If they were to lose this election, what do you know about leftists? What do you know about their nature? Do you really think leftists are going to lose this election and go, phew, all right, not ideal, but let's just let that one go. We'll forget about it. We'll just, you know, pick up the pieces and move on. Or do you think they're going to ramp up everything? Right? Here's Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey.
Okay, for both Mr. Zuckerberg and Dorsey, who censored New York Post stories or throttled them back, do either one of you have any evidence that the New York Post story is part of Russian disinformation or that those emails aren't authentic? Do any of you have any information whatsoever they're not authentic or that they are Russian disinformation? Mr. Dorsey.
We don't.
You know, so why would you censor it? Why did you prevent that from being disseminated on your platform that is supposed to be for the free expression of ideas, and particularly true ideas?
We believed it fell afoul of our hacking materials policy. We judged in the
moment. But what evidence did you have that it was hacked? They weren't hacked.
We judged in a moment that it looked like it was hacked materials.
You were wrong.
Surfacing, and we updated our policy and our enforcement within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Hacked. I knew it wasn't hacked. I knew it wasn't hacked. But it's amazing. They're not really scared. They're not. Even when Ted Cruz went after him, they know. They know there aren't enough people behind Ted Cruz to actually do something about it.
But you're still watching the New York Post. You haven't changed it.
We have changed it. They can log into their account, delete the original tweet.
You forced a Politico reporter to take down his post about the New York Post as well. Is that correct?
Within that 24-hour period, yes. But we, you know, as the policy has changed, anyone can tweet.
So Twitter takes the view you can censor the New York Post, you can censor Politico, presumably you can censor the New York Times or any other media outlet. Mr. Dorsey, who the hell elected you and put you in charge of what the media are allowed to report and what the American people are allowed to hear? And why do you persist in behaving as a Democratic super PAC, silencing views to the contrary of your political beliefs?
He's not wrong. But none of that was what really got to me yesterday from all that. This, from a Democrat senator, Ed Markey, this is what hit home for me, and it better hit home for you. I want you to listen and remember something. Democrats are not like Republicans. Democrats, to their credit, even though they're detestable, Democrats mean what they say. When Ed Markey says this, he believes it.
The big tech business model, which puts profits ahead of people, is a real problem. Anti-conservative bias is not a problem. The issue is not that the companies before us today are taking too many posts down. The issue is that they're leaving too many dangerous posts up. In fact, they're amplifying harmful content so that it spreads like wildfire and torches our democracy.
I want you to remember that. You'll hear Democrats, you'll hear these leftists say these things all the time now. Well, there's not enough, there's not media bias. What are you talking about? They shouldn't allow this at all. Remember this. When Democrats survey the landscape of this culture and everything they own, all of it, they don't see wins. They don't see a victory. They don't see the things they own at all. They see the tiny little pockets they don't have yet, and that's all they see. Leftism is not a political ideology. It is a religion of domination. And Ed Markey means what he just said there. We don't have censorship of conservatives. We need some. We need a lot more of it. If they had their way, you'd never be able to utter a peep unless it was approved by them. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, are you sleeping? Don't lie. Are you sleeping? And I don't mean once a week. I haven't slept in 3 or 4 days, but I finally got a night's sleep last night. I had to pop half a dozen sleeping pills. Are you doing that to yourself, to your body, to your mind? Stop. Go get an Ebb Sleep and get 8 hours of sleep every single night. Every single night without pills, without pillows. And you can try it risk-free for 60 days. Go to tryebb.com/Jesse. That's tryebb.com/Jesse. Use the promo code Jesse. Get $25 off. We'll be back. I'm going to miss the Trump rallies. Whenever Trump's done being president, I'm going to miss him. Did you see his rally in Bullhead, Arizona, or Bullhead City, Arizona? I don't know. I don't do research for the show. What is it? It's Bullhead, Arizona. Look at that. I went to a Trump rally one time here in Houston when he came because I'd been told it's just something you have to go to. And you know, I don't wear anybody's pajamas. I think he's been a good president. I'm thrilled. Hope he gets reelected again. But I agree. I'm kind of ho-hum about it. I don't like to do things, certainly not with other people. But I agree. Well, sure, I'll go. It was a blast. It was like going to a concert slash college football game. You're walking in, and there's tailgating. And I don't mean half tailgating. I mean they're grilling out sausages. People are offering you things. They've got merchandise stands set up all over the place with Trump gear. The ladies are dressed to the nines as if they're going out for a night on the town. People are in this crazy Trump stuff. And you get inside the stadium and it's just wild. So they'll write books about this when everybody's done being a hysterical baby about it. They'll write books about the Trump presidency and what it was. He is something, but it has been enjoyable. And we, mark my words, he's going to be gone. 4 years, 8 years, whatever it is, he's going to be gone. And we're going to get a regular old Republican in there doing like a 1,000-person rally at the local pancake club. Oh, it's good to see you all. Flossie, I'm glad you came out here today. And we're all going to think, man, this sucks. And one of the reasons I say Trump's going to win is you juxtapose that Trump rally with the crowds Biden and Kamala Harris turn out. This is Kamala Harris also in Arizona. You just saw the Trump rally in Arizona. I'm not making this up. On my life, this is not Photoshopped. That was her rally in Arizona. Like, seven people, if I'm looking right, in cars, and then just, that's their rally. And it's been this time and time and time again. How can you possibly get elected president of the United States if you don't generate any excitement in people? And look, nothing generates excitement in me. I'm cold and dead inside. And even I look at that and think, there's just no possible way those people could win an election. But maybe they will win on Tuesday, in which case I will have this show deleted from the archives so nobody can use these words against me. And we have more poll numbers. There's a poll done in Wisconsin. 47.5% Joe Biden, 47.1% Donald Trump, and who cares about the other losers who are running who have no chance whatsoever? Uh-oh. If you're under the impression that because of our shame society, that polls are always going to skew Democrat now because the media, everybody has made it out to be like the scarlet letter across your chest if you're voting for Donald Trump. So people just lie or they don't answer. So you get Democrat heavy polls. If the Democrat polls have Joe Biden and Donald Trump now tied in Wisconsin, then Donald Trump is winning Wisconsin. And if you believe, as I do, that Donald Trump is winning Florida and probably winning Pennsylvania, if Donald Trump wins Wisconsin, I don't know about your electoral map. I'm doing the numbers here. That sounds to me like Donald Trump is going to be president of the United States of America again for another 4 years. But again, all this is guesswork right now. We don't know. We'll find out soon enough. Now, we will find out soon enough. Election day. You know what day it is today? It's Thursday. The election's coming Tuesday. Do you know what that market is going to do on Tuesday if this election doesn't go a certain way? You know what they do. You know what they do around uncertainty. If there's one thing markets hate, it's uncertainty. So why don't you own a gold IRA yet? Gold Alliance has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. They are right there. They make it completely easy for you. A gold IRA needs to be part of your portfolio. I'm not telling you to do something wild, to go buy a chest of gold pirate coins. I'm telling you to get a gold IRA, and Gold Alliance will take care of it. Go to goldalliance.com/Jesse. That's goldalliance.com/Jesse. And you can get up to $5,000 in free gold and silver coins. We'll be back. Joining me now is writer Brandon Weikert and obviously author of the book Winning Space. Brandon, you're not getting off the hook without getting out of here with an election prediction, because the chances are we're not talking again beforehand. So allow us to begin right there, and don't be pussyfooting around it either. Give it to me.
I think Trump's going to win. I think it's going to be a beautiful big night for Trump, and I am excited. I think the media and the Democratic Party elites who run our culture have done everything short of throwing the proverbial kitchen sink out the window to try to stop Trump. And Trump's just, he's outwitting them. I mean, he's the old comparison is between him and the Roadrunner. They just can't catch up. I think he's got this.
What will it say to you if he doesn't? I have my own theory on that. Yeah. I think it'll be obviously painful, but a great indication of where we are just as a nation. If Joe Biden and his deficiencies are able to beat a sitting president, I think, look, it hurts, but I think it'll tell you, oh, okay, well, that's where we are now.
Well, it certainly would be clarifying. We would know what worked and what didn't work during the Trump years. I don't know if the Republican Party as an institution would take the right lessons away. There are a group of people in the Republican Party who are quietly hoping that if Trump loses, that would be good for them, because then they would be elevated because they were the few never Trumpers. But I think that there is a tidal force of history that's pushing Trump forward. And even when Trump makes a mistake here and there, he's on the right side of the tidal force, and he is the man for the moment. And so if Biden is somehow able to do this and displace Trump, I think that it would represent, I think that the Republican Party and all of sort of the Republican media establishment has gotten this one wrong, and then we as a party, as a movement, need to go back and reassess so that we know how to go forward winning. But I in the summer I was a little worried, and I wrote an article at American Greatness about, you know, Biden maybe sleepwalking into the presidency. But in the last month and a half, Trump has just gone gangbusters with his campaign, and I don't understand between what's going on with the Hunter Biden story, what's going on with the fact that Trump is reopening the economy. Americans are having their jobs and livelihoods saved because of Trump. And it's the Democrats and Biden who are trying to stop that from happening. It's the Democrats who are cashing in on really low rent fear about a disease that is serious, but their reaction to it is completely unserious, and they don't really have a policy proposal. So I really think that great silent majority that people keep talking about on the right, I think it's alive and well. And I think that if Trump keeps doing what he's doing for the next few days, I think he's going to win.
Do you think Joe Biden, now I agree, I think Trump's going to win too. I've been saying this, but do you think Joe Biden's punches at Trump about coronavirus are landing? And this is what I'm basically asking. I understand Americans in general aren't probably going to blame Trump for coronavirus, outside of obviously the far left. That's normal. Do you think there is a lot of blame on his lap for something in the minds of Americans? Not in your mind. Do you think they do look at him and think you screwed up X, and what is X if you do?
Yeah, I think that I think he gets a 50 or 60% overall so far in his response. And the reason I say that is because we've lost a lot of people to it. And I know there's some argument about how they're counting the numbers, but the bottom line is we've lost 218,000 Americans in counting. I think the alternative argument that it's hard for people to understand, I think we would have had many more dead if Trump had not taken those early actions to close the travel from Asia down, from China down. I think that Trump did a lot of good in the beginning. I think the problem was the way that Trump reopened the economy. Not that he had to reopen it, he did have to reopen it. But I think that he was giving mixed signals. And I think that in the minds of many Americans during a time like that, they don't want mixed signals. And so I don't think there's a lot he can be blamed for personally. I think that there's anybody who was in charge would get blamed for this. I don't think the federal government or our private hospitals, for that matter, were really prepared for a pandemic level event. And so I think whoever was president was going to get blamed. But I think that the president should have done a much harder job personally. And I think a lot of Americans would have responded to all this, making it clear that China attacked us with this disease. Now, there's some argument about the origins of COVID-19, and I don't want to get into that, but I will say that we know China sat on the information that they had a pandemic for as long as they could and waited for upwards of 5 million people over the course of 2 months to leave that area of China and travel to the United States and Europe. And so I think if Trump had really focused like a laser on that talking point, and he tried, but there were other things going on, and then he would talk about bleach in the body, and we got distracted. I think that if he had really had a coordinated strategy for letting Americans know, hey, this isn't my fault. It's not even, as he said at the last debate, it's not even Joe Biden's fault. It's China's fault. He could have had a unifying message, and he would have had, I think, a lot more wiggle room. And I think the fact that there was sort of this in the middle of the pandemic, this kind of haphazard response in terms of the media outreach, I think that he's going to get punished for that. I don't, however, think it's enough for him to lose, because the economy has rebounded so well. Had the economy not rebounded, it would be a different story right now. But because the will of the American people is so clearly on the side of freedom and economic liberty, we all want to feed our families according to our own capabilities. And so I think Trump recognized that, and that's going to be the saving grace in all of this. And I think that he will get us a vaccine. I really do.
Brandon, I saw a headline this week, and it perked my ears up. Now, I'll admit I initially dismissed it as just a bunch of bull, because I don't think it's possible. But I figured I might as well ask you, because you're so good at this stuff. There was a headline about Russia and China possibly merging. Right. possibly coming together, having a little axis of evil type moment. And I, look, when I read it, I initially thought, well, those two egomaniacs are not going to have any kind of an alliance together. But then I paused and thought I might as well ask the expert. What say you?
Yeah. Well, the first thing is the U.S. foreign policy, as we've discussed previously on the your special on Russia, U.S. foreign policy as it has existed until Trump has been very anti-Russian. And now there's been some good reason for that. The Russians are not snuggy bears. They are a problem. But the problem for us is that every time we push very hard against Russia, it forces Moscow to pivot and go close to Beijing. And interestingly, in Newsmax last week, there was a headline I was reading about how Putin has reaffirmed his commitment to China in terms of technology agreements, sharing agreement, but he stopped short of announcing a formal alliance. Now, the reason I think is simple. He's holding out to see if Trump wins re-election. The Russians do not want to be beholden to China, but they will allow themselves to be beholden to China if they think they can't get a better deal from the Americans. And so I think that what you're seeing now is Putin is allowing the pieces on the Eurasian chessboard to be maneuvered in such a way where he has the ability to be the deciding factor in a new alliance, where whether he will break up a potential China-dominated Eurasia by siding with the United States if we offer him a good deal, or whether he will ultimately align with both China and Iran to form this new, as you would say, axis of evil against the Americans. Right now, he is right in the middle, which is where he wants to be, and he can be the determinant of that. And if the next president is Joe Biden, I can assure you, he, just as with Hillary Clinton, his policies toward Russia will be far more hawkish and blatantly absurd than the Trump administration's has been, which will force Russia into an alliance with China, which, by the way, would lead to Russia's Far East being ultimately annexed by the Chinese over time. And Putin knows that, which is why he's afraid. But in the near term, Russia has to survive. And so if Russia can't get a better deal in the near term from us, they will risk losing their Russian Far East to the Chinese by aligning with the Chinese and the Iranian anti-American alliance.
See, I told you, people. I told you he would know. All right, Brendan, I need you to shoot me straight on something. Give it to me straight. I'm ready. Right. Do Russian politicians still sit around in dark rooms with that, like, loud, ominous Russian classical music playing and drink vodka and stuff like that? In my mind, they do, and I need them to.
In my mind, they do as well. There's a great James Bond movie from the Timothy Dalton era where there's the opening scene is a Putin-like general in front of this big electronic board, very 1980s, but the room's spinning and he's talking about the invasion of Russia and they're drinking their vodka, or the invasion of Europe and they're drinking their vodka. I still think that goes on. It's fun to think. You know, I hope they're not sitting in quiet rooms talking gently. I like to think that they're hammering and, you know, we will bury you and, you know.
Hold on. There weren't any great James Bond movies in the Timothy Dalton era. Let's just be real clear about that.
I agree. Let's say slightly above average. Nothing's worse than the Ken Lazenby, though.
That's fair. All right, Brendan Weicker, thank you, brother.
Thank you.
All right. Here's the deal. I kind of want to picture that Russian vodka scene. Don't you want to picture the Russian vodka scene? I need the music too. You know what I'm talking about. You know what? Never mind. We'll be back. Joining me now, editor-at-large, redstate.com, Kira Davis. Kira, I need you to shoot me straight. Give me the best homemade mac and cheese recipe you've ever had in your entire life. And do you have one yourself?
Yeah, the best homemade mac and cheese recipe actually comes on the back of a box of like Borello macaroni. And it's really, my aunt used to make it and I used to love it. And I was like, give me your recipe. And she was like, it's the recipe on the box. It's flour, butter, cheese, onions, lots of all of that. Mix that up and it makes them, you know, put in whatever spices you like, but it makes the best mac and cheese. So easy to make and it's foolproof.
Oh, Daggone, now I'm starving. All right, Kira, presidential prediction. I'm asking everybody who comes on in case we don't talk again before the election. I think Trump's going to win, possibly comfortably. It's fine to disagree, as you well know. Where are you at?
Ask me on any given day. Yesterday, I was like, Trump in a landslide. Today, I'm like, I don't know. I think it's going to be a little closer than we all hope it's going to be. The problem here is the 65 and older voters, I think. We don't really know a whole lot about which way they're going, but COVID, I think Trump's response to COVID has really put off a lot of those voters. And the other thing that's skewing the polls and how I'm looking at them, which, you know, everything you have to take with a grain of salt after 2016. But the other thing is that we can't really tell what the mail-in vote is going to be. Typically, mail-in votes go to Democrats, but this year is way different. And GOP registration is up in some districts that typically win heavily by Democrat mail-in ballots. So you can't even look at the mail-in ballots and say, okay, a lot are being returned. That probably skews well for Democrats because of COVID. A lot of people, period, are just out there mailing in their ballots. And there are a lot of Trump voters who wanted to get that out of the way, who knew that they were voting for Trump no matter what, and wanted to make sure their ballot got in and got counted on time. So I don't know. Today, I feel like it's a slimmer margin, but we see Biden going out to Minnesota. He's finally campaigning, like days before the election. He's finally campaigning. Mm-hmm. He's going out to Wisconsin. He's going out to Minnesota today. Jesse, Kanye might be a spoiler in Minnesota for Biden. This whole thing is crazy. I don't know. Ask me tomorrow. I'll have a different answer.
Kira, now I realize I'm asking a lot to put you in the mind and body of a 65-year-old person and older. However, what is it, if you had to guess, if you do think they have a problem with Trump's coronavirus response, because I've heard this before and it very well may be true, what is their problem with it? What did they want and didn't get? I have no idea.
I think maybe they thought Trump wasn't taking it seriously enough. I think a lot of older people are very scared of this virus, and for, you know, good reason. They're in the vulnerable set.
Well, that is maybe the most disheartening thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I guess I was apparently mistakenly under the impression that the older voters in America would have more of an appreciation for freedom and things like that. Now, I understand the health concerns. That I totally get. As you said, they're in the vulnerable class and things like that. I just didn't picture a bunch of 70-year-olds sitting around thinking, man, I wish the government had locked us all down like it was prison. That's something that's happening?
I didn't think that either, but I am sensing that there is, probably a lot of it is the media too. The way the media has been making it sound is just like, if you leave your house, you're about to drop dead, like any moment. I have to look at, if I look at my parents, you know, I look at my mother, although she's up in socialist Canada, but, you know, she's pretty locked down, and that's how she wants it to be. She doesn't think people should be out doing anything until there's a vaccine. I took a road trip to Texas with my daughter a couple of weeks ago, and a lot of my older relatives were very ticked at me for spreading COVID all over the United States with my daughter.
What is, now obviously you're in California, as we've talked about several times before, and I actually texted my wife about it this weekend. This was one of the first weekends I can remember. I had to run a bunch of errands on Saturday. You wouldn't know about it. It's guy stuff, hardware store and stuff like that.
Oh,
but
okay.
I had to run a bunch of errands on Saturday, and I was struck. This is really the first time, even in Texas, I've noticed we still have a mask mandate in stores and things like that here. And I'm talking 10% of the people are actually wearing them. The store workers aren't wearing them. The customers aren't wearing them. It's like the entire state of Texas collectively just said, I'm done with all that. I don't pretend like all of America's in that mood, but are you seeing that where you're at?
Where I'm at, absolutely. If you go 35 miles south of me to Los Angeles County, because I'm in Orange County, we're the free county. You go to Los Angeles County, and it's a ghost town. And I was just there visiting a friend the other day. People are riding their bicycles with masks on. People are driving their cars with masks on. Everything's closed. I have never seen downtown LA. You go down to downtown LA, the only people who aren't wearing masks are the homeless people. And they're everywhere because now there's no one on the street. So they've taken over downtown LA completely. So California is an interesting juxtaposition because the governor is still polling very well because we have these huge cities, right? San Francisco, LA. He's polling well there. But in the rest of the state, most of us are like, this is ridiculous. I mean, I'll tell you what the bridge was for us here in Orange County that we couldn't get over. It was Halloween. Because that was it. Most of the parents were like, oh no, you're not going to shut down Halloween. Are you going to send out the cops to arrest three-year-olds? Like, no, we're having a huge party on my block this week. My block has never shut down. We have been socializing. We have been having parties. We've been having birthday parties. We have had no outbreaks. Our schools are starting to go back in this neighborhood. No outbreaks. And I do notice people getting loosey-goosey with that mask stuff, too. Everyone's pretty respectful because there's a few people who are vulnerable on my street. Everyone's pretty respectful. We'll have outdoor events so those people can come and feel comfortable. But, yeah, for the most part, and that was a sense I got when I was driving around Texas, too. Most people were there were like, oh, I've had it. Like, this is enough. I know how to wash my hands. If I'm in a big crowd, I'll think about wearing a mask. Like, I'm not a child. And conservative California, which is geographically most of California, feels the same way. But if you go to LA and go to San Francisco, yeah, you're going to see people doing yoga in masks, working out in masks, riding their bikes with masks. I mean, it's insane.
I do my yoga in a mask all the time, Kira. Let me ask you something. Do you think people are clamoring for another coronavirus relief bill, stimulus bill? Because it's the oddest thing. I see Congress yelling about it all the time. Nancy Pelosi's all over the news yelling about it. The Republicans are all over the news yelling about it. They're screwing it up and they're screwing it up. One thing I don't see at all, and I could be just blind to this, I don't see a single American asking, where's the coronavirus relief bill? Are they trying to pass something nobody actually wants or is asking for?
That's a good question, Jesse.
I know.
Excuse me.
On
the one hand, I every now and then a broken clock is right twice a day, right? Because on the one hand, I don't see it. Not like the first round of stimulus where everyone was like, we're desperate here. We don't know where the next month's coming from. Things are starting to even out. I'm not hearing it like that, but I've been doing some shows on liberal networks and podcasts, and they do talk about it a lot. And they talk about it in the sense that it's the Republicans that are blocking this from coming through. So I don't know if it's people are really screaming for it, but on the left, it is present on the left almost as a weapon rather than like people are dying if they don't get their stimulus. By the way, I do think we should do this. I mean, if we're just going to be spending this money, then just give it to the people. You know what I mean? Because I think you and I are of the same mind that spending no longer matters to the Republican Party, no longer matters to politics. If we're just printing money and giving it away, fine. Let's do it. I don't think we're ever going to roll this back. So give me my money then. Give it to me. Give it to Amazon.
I hate that we're on the same page at this point in time. I'm so tired of screaming about spending and screaming at Republicans about spending. I mean, look, we used to scream at Obama. We used to have tea parties for Obama when he was running like $900 billion deficits. We're running a $3 trillion deficit this year, and everyone's all, oh, we need another stimulus bill. So I'm done beating my head against the wall. Screw it. Just start sending me checks, too. I'm done with it all.
That's what I said when Trump unveiled that platinum plan for Black America, which, as a Black American, I really love that. I mean, at least some Republican is finally saying, all right, hey, let's put something together. Let's get some advice. Some of it's really good. You know, I like a lot of Tim Scott's proposals that are in it. Some of it's just budget neutral, but then there's a lot of spending in there. It's like $500 billion of spending in there. I'm like, okay, I get it. I'm Black. I love that the Republicans are thinking this way and we need more of this type of thinking, but come on, another $500 billion? Where is this coming from? We used to not approve of any spending, and I just think that's gone out the window. And that was one, probably, Jesse, one of the things that Never Trump really complained about in the beginning of Trump's presidency, was that he's at the end of the day, he's a New York guy. He's a New York liberal. He's not a conservative. I don't think he looks at spending the same way that conservatives do. And that was a lot of their complaint. I mean, their complaints have gone way overboard since, but that's where it started. And I think fairly so. But like you and I just think, I'm like, well, I don't think I'm ever going to win this battle. I think politicians have figured out they can bribe us with their own money. And, you know, we just got to dig in our heels and try to slow the slide for as long as possible.
Keira Davis. Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right. The baby reveal. Is this not the worst tradition currently in America? I'm going to show you one that I actually enjoyed for sick reasons in just a sec. Hang on. I realize we live in a social media world now. We live in a world where people are going to, they're going to film everything. Everything has to have a picture attached to it, and everything has to get uploaded to Instagram and Twitter. And I get that. Look, I'm on the social media sites too. It's part of my career. I get it, and I have fun with it. But this gender reveal thing for the baby, I never got it. And I'm doing the best I can not to sound like my father here, but I don't understand it. It used to be just like this quiet, private moment. Oh, we're having a boy. Thank goodness. So I never understood this internet phenomenon. However, I realized that cat is out of the bag now. This is now a thing. People are going to do these weird gender reveals. And this one I very much enjoyed. Well, you'll see.
I must have picked the wrong cannon. I picked the wrong cannon. It's not a boy. Wait, I feel so bad. What do I do? I picked the wrong cannons. I picked the wrong cannons.
It's a girl. Go tell John.
There's no walking that back. And you know what? That little girl's going to grow up one day and somebody's going to show her this video and they're going to tell her, nobody wanted you. Stop. We can kid. I'll see you tomorrow for our special.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Yeah, what would you like? Usually my drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink, the guys come in, I'm gonna go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.